This is Michael O'Rourke continuing the interview with Harold Seifert. Is that how you pronounce your
name? Seifert.
Yeah, Seifert. On September the 6th, 5th, rather, 1996. So you say you'd pack 2 days up to the Trask?
Well, it takes 1 day to go back and 1 day to come.
Oh, yeah.
You know. Gosh, it, you know, must have been 10, 12... at least 12 miles back there. We had all those old holes named in the Trask River, you know, like the Frying Pan Hole and Bark Shanty Hole and different things like that. And,
oh, yeah.
And
These are place fishing spots along the river then, huh?
Yeah. And, well, we didn't do it legally, really, in those days. We generally had a piece of net, you know, and they had ripples, so we'd get weighed up just where the water deep, and then we'd bang the river around there, you know, and then the salmon would take off and go down and get in this net, old gill net.
Oh, yeah.
And when we got what we wanted, we loaded up and come home.
Uh-huh. So you'd stretch the net across the
across
the channel then, and mm-hmm. and just chase the salmon in that direction, huh?
Yeah, and then we'd take what we wanted, the bass, and just let go.
Uh-huh.
And that was a yearly occurrence for several years.
Uh-huh.
You know, that was our winter's fish.
Uh-huh.
We'd smoke it up and everything.
Uh-huh.
Can some.
And even in those days, that wasn't a legal way to catch them, or?
Well, no, nothing was legal, you know, but it was for us. Well, you know, in those days, this would be back in the 30s and early 40. Anything was legal if you had to survive deep.
Uh-huh.
That was the way we looked at it.
Right.
and sometimes you'd have a game guy that you knew, he'd just turn his back, you know.
Mm-hmm. Of course, there was a lot more fish in the river back in those
days. Oh, gosh, the river, but you couldn't walk across on the fish. There was a thick.
Yeah, yeah.
You know. So,
and you fished the Tualatin a little bit too?
Yeah, well, nothing illegal there outside of we fished when the fish were there.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. You never ever took a good fishing pole with you because you never knew when you had to ditch it.
So the hickory poles were the ones you brought?
Yeah. No.
I imagine, well, of course, probably living up here as you do on the river doesn't look that bad, even in later years, because you get that the water coming down off the mountain.
Mm-hmm.
But I wonder if you noticed any change in the water quality over the years.
Not really. I would say, and from here back is still very good clean water.
Uh-huh.
Because it's all rock. You don't get until you get down to Gaston, then it starts to get sluggish.
Uh-huh.
And this is all fast moving water.
Right. And it's all coming out of the forest.
And there's nothing lives back of me here.
Mm-hmm. There's no population.
Well, you on the Lee Falls Road, you got some up here, but as far as the valley here and up Roaring Creek that way, there's nothing between here and Tillamook.
Uh-huh.
So,
So that would.
So you got good clean water.
Good clean water, mm-hmm. all the time. Yeah.
The only thing they do up here, well, they monitored every day. You know, the Hillsborough Water Works, and you know, for anything dead comes in it or something like that, it's all. They take samples every day, and then they have a sand filter that filters our water. Is all filtered now.
Mm-hmm.
And
so you get your water from the Hillsborough
mm-hmm.
Water District.
But we're on the Tualatin line,
where okay.
from Forest Grove area, all that takes it out of the river down there. You know, it's not piped anymore. It's cut off. They got a treatment plant down there,
right.
And our water comes direct from the intake up here.
I see, and so it doesn't go through any treatment, or?
No, well, let's check for chlorine if it needs to be, you know. But it's got a sand filter, so we don't got no sediment. But down there, they got quite a treatment plant in Forest Grove, and so that's and but they got that. There's a lot of sewers and what have you, long, you know, can dump you in, and pollution from chemicals from the fields and what have you is in the water down there. And we got the best water up here.
Yeah, yeah, it sounds like it.
Because there's nothing up here to pollute it.
Right. Has the water on this place always come from the river?
Mm-hmm. So. Well, originally when I first bought the house, they had what's called Cherry Grove water system. And right across the hill here, they had a spring, and it was piped over, and another spring up above here.
Uh-huh.
And that was our water system.
I see.
But in, I don't remember just exactly what year that Hillsborough took this over. It's been quite a while now.
Uh-huh.
Probably about 10, 15 years ago, maybe.
Uh-huh.
When Hillsborough took this, they bought the Cherry Grove system out.
I see.
And then they run their hook their pipelines to our feeder lines. And of course, now since then, they've replaced all the lines.
Mm-hmm. I see. So you got a whole new system in
here.
That's
a whole new system now.
Right. But you still take your water from just up the river.
Yeah, it's taken from up here. It's about 5 miles up there from here.
And so there's a little separate treatment plant for Cherry Grove then, or?
Well, outside of the sand filter, and then they have a chlorine plant if it needs chlorine.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But very seldom you ever taste chlorine, except when it get a heavy storm or something.
Uh-huh, so.
And then you might taste some chlorine.
And just put it in when they need it then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's, like I say, it's monitored every day.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And if it needs something, they get it goes in. If it don't,
right.
But that big sand filter is quite an operation.
Uh-huh. What's it? What do you mean by that?
Well, it's close to 2 acres. It's in concrete encampment. You know, like a pond, concrete, and then it's filled. Well, originally they put in at least 4 feet of sand,
uh-huh.
a certain type of sand that the water has seeped through,
mm-hmm.
and then it drips into another reservoir underneath, all enclosed. You can't see it. And that's supposed to be clean water out of that.
Uh-huh.
And it is.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't have no sediments of any kind.
Do they have to then clean the sand filter every now and then?
Yes, they scoop that every couple of weeks. They take off a little, about a quarter of an inch or less with a machine. They'll drain this one tank and then the feed out of the other one.
Uh-huh.
And then they'll fill this one and then the other one. So it's about every 2 weeks they skim one of them. They call it skimming.
Uh-huh. Take off the top quarter
mm-hmm.
inch and
mm-hmm.
and then they just throw that away then? And
Yeah, it's in a pile. I've got a lot of it in my garden.
Oh, yeah. I imagine it'd be pretty good.
Good for the soil.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, has probably.
It has all the nutrients that come down and on top they skim off.
Right, plus a little bit of sand too.
Yes,
probably.
Quite a bit of sand, in fact.
Yeah, right, so yeah. That helps kind of break up the clay a little bit.
I've got one full truck load, and I don't know how many pickup loads. Probably 15, 20 I got out here.
Mm-hmm. Uh huh. So that you can get the sand from them then.
They let me have all I want.
Oh yeah.
Uh-huh. Matter of fact, they give me keys to get through the gates to get it.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's good. is that because you're an ex-employee? Well.
Not necessarily, but I happen to know when you work for a water district, you know one another more
right.
or less,
right.
and that helps.
Sure.
No, they're real nice people, and they've told us, Ainer and I, they like to have us drive up there in case we see anything that's out of the way.
Oh yeah.
You
Now you mentioned Ainer, that's your friend here in Cherry Grove?
Well, he lives in Dilley now,
okay.
But he owns property here in Cherry Grove.
I see. Mm-hmm. And you've known him since the early days? Or?
I've known him since 1934.
Uh-huh. Since you moved here then, huh?
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. But he's been here longer than that. I mean, he was born here.
Uh-huh.
And he's 80 years old now.
Mm-hmm.
Or will be this month.
Uh-huh. So he's about your age, but has lived here all his life.
Right? Yeah, he's 6 months, or three, I guess it's 3 months younger than I am.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore,
uh-huh.
Let's see, his birthday is this month, I think it is, and mine was in June.
Uh-huh. So, and now why did the water district ask him to keep an eye on things? Just because they...
Well, it's Ben's, we're old-timers and lived here all our lives, you might say, the biggest part. He's lived here all his life, mm-hmm. or did, until he moved down to Dilley. And it's just... They don't know when we're up there, things are going to be okay.
Uh-huh, right.
You know.
Well, now back to when you made the move to working for the implement, that was Hillsboro Implement, was it?
Right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. At that time, they were Caterpillar John Deere dealer when uh-huh. I went to work for them.
Mm-hmm. And you went to work for them because your work at the
lumber company. Well, I didn't want to go down any out away from home in the woods. And here, this was right here at Hillsboro, 18-mile drive,
mm-hmm.
And I did a lot of mechanical work anyway,
yeah.
on maintaining log trucks and the cats and what have you, you know, down here for Alder Creek, and that's in the winter time
uh-huh.
when they shut down for the woods, and then we'd work down the shops.
I see. So you worked as a mechanic for the timber
yeah.
company too.
Yeah, and so anyway, when they woods quit and I had to go away from home, I went up there and asked about a job, and they looked at me a little bit, and well, they didn't know for sure just when, and the next day they called me to work. You know, so, and then I worked there,
they needed to think about it overnight
and
or something,
a half years.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. So,
and what did you do for them then? You were mostly mechanic?
Mechanic. I worked in the shop for just a very short time, and then they put me on the road as a serviceman.
Oh yeah.
First it was selling new equipment. Well, I wasn't a salesman, but I demonstrated new equipment to these Jippo loggers that was around the Vernonia area and Tongue Point, Astoria. We had 54 of those little cats out. New ones, you know, for what's called Jippo loggers.
Uh-huh.
And
what's a Jippo logger exactly?
Jeppo Logger, he's a contract logger for a big outfit.
Okay, I see.
Mostly it was Crown Zeller back at that time down there.
Uh-huh, okay.
And, well, the International Paper too, and but Crown was the biggest now, mm-hmm. or then. Now they've practically sold out everything. Well, they logged everything off, so I don't know who owns it now, but they sold their holdings.
So these are... So these Jippo loggers then would be hired on contract to...
Yeah, their Crown would map out a little area here, and so they would pay them so much a thousand for what's called decking. They, in other words, they cut it and logged it and put it in a pile. Then Crown would come along with their loaders and load it out. And so they call it decking. They logged it and decked the logs.
Mm-hmm.
And... So the little cats, which were the little John Deere cats, did the work like that, and they would buy them, and then
they'd
of course
use them to haul the timber out of the forest, and,
yeah,
to,
right.
and put it in the pile,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. and pile it up in along the road.
Mm-hmm.
They had trails or roads in there, you know, and they put along the road. Crown mm-hmm. built the roads,
mm-hmm.
and
so you were selling mostly equipment to these loggers then, is that right?
I was no salesman.
The
salesman would go with me lots of times and go down there, and I would run the thing and demonstrate it what it would do.
I see. Mm-hmm.
You know.
Okay.
And then 9 times out of 10, it left it there.
Uh huh.
You know.
Because
see, if you're interested and if it suits you, you're going to buy it. Otherwise, they wouldn't take it down unless they really thought there was a chance.
Right. Sure.
In other words, you had to have something that's better than what they had to work with.
Uh-huh.
And
most of the time that was true, huh?
Mm-hmm. So.
And so you'd also do maintenance work for these outfits?
You're right, afterwards. See, they take the new equipment, and then there's a certain amount of warranty periods on all of it, you know.
Right.
And I'd do that work, and then, of course, later... you did a certain amount of service work. If you could do it there, you did it. enough time to take a final drive off, something like that, and you do, you repaired it right there on the spot. And if it was something a little more major, you'd go down and check it out, and then you'd have a truck come down, or maybe you'd have to go down with the truck the next day and pick it up
and bring it
bring it home, bring it to the shop,
bring it to Hillsboro.
But as much as you could, you fix it on the job.
So would you actually get into overhauling engines and stuff
too? I've overhauled a lot of them.
Diesel engines.
All of these practically were diesel.
I've got some friends who run a marine diesel operation in Portland, actually. So they are always out on the river working on diesel.
Actually, there's no difference much working on diesel than there is gas. It's all basically the same because your injection system, you don't work on that. You know, like the injection pumps or the injectors.
You just change them out then?
You change them out, and then you send them in and get them repaired, and they charge them what it costs to repair the others. You don't have the equipment to... They're very fine... mechanisms in there, and you don't monkey with them if you don't have the equipment to do it with. It's like computers on your car and what have you. Now there's no oak tree mechanic, you know, can work on them.
You got to have the
equipment to test it to know what you're doing.
I imagine the close tolerances and all the rest
it's complicated, but it's much better than the old system because it's less maintenance. You know, you can run a car for maybe 100,000 miles now and no problems whatsoever with any of that. Before, with the old system, every 1,000 miles you had to do this or that.
Things have gotten a lot more reliable. And that's true probably in the heavy equipment too, the diesel
stuff. Yes, it is.
And did you work much with farmers during this period, or mostly with timber folks?
No, it was mostly timber. I did a little bit of what's called ag work, you know, in the shop. There's times when there's things that are running good and you have nothing much to do. Well, you'd work on a ag tractor.
But they had other mechanics that would take care of that most of the time?
There was, I forget how, there were around 30 of us, I think, working in there.
And you say you worked that job for 13 years?
Yeah.
That was between 50...
Well, I started there in 59.
59 till 62. And then that would be the time when you got involved with the water district.
Water district, right. I was doing all the water district service. See, they had quite a bit of John Deere equipment. Backhoes and cat and what have you, you know, and I was doing their service work over there on that stuff, on the John Deere diesels, you know, and so Cicero Smith was superintendent at the time, and he says, you just as well come over here and work, he says, you're over here all the time anyway. And I says, well, I can't do that because I got a pension over here started and everything, and I said, my wife wouldn't stand for that, to change jobs. I was already past 50, you know. And if something didn't work out, it's pretty hard to get a job in those days, you know. Well, he said, I'll take care of that. So he had his secretary in there dictate a letter and mail it to my wife, and she okayed it. So then that's how come I went over there. And he said, yeah, I have a job there regardless, as long as I wanted to stay.
And what did you do about your pension?
They took care of it. What I did was took it out here. It didn't amount to that much, I think $4,000 or something like that I had built up. And they put it in on theirs. In other words, I added up there and helped mine.
I see.
That pension I get now.
And so you went then to work for the Wolf Creek Water District?
Yeah.
And you were hired by the manager then at that
time?
And who was that again?
Cicero Smith.
Okay, that's right. You just mentioned that name, right. So he was Gene Seibel's...
Well, Gene Seibel followed him.
Right.
When Cicero retired, And then Gene took over.
Right, and Gene was already working there when you went to work.
Yeah, he was a meter reader when I went to work there.
Yeah, okay, that would be early in his career then.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Gosh, I don't know. He must have worked there 30 years or more.
Mm-hmm.
He was there a long time.
And what kind of work did you? What kind of maintenance work were you doing for the water district worked for them?
I helped keep up all the equipment, and of course I had a little help now and then. But I also got the bids for all new equipment. In other words, wanted to buy a new car, new pickups. You know, this I had a budget to work on there, and I'd go get the bids, and then they would. And there would tell me which ones they want, and then I took care of all of that.
Uh-huh. Okay.
So.
I want to ask you probably a little bit more about the water district, but actually before I do, let me just ask you a little bit about what was going on around here on the Tualatin around that time, because I know that this would have been about the time you went to work for the water district. That was, what, 62? Is that what we figured out? Was that, or was it? Oh, 69.
No,
69.
69.
Yes, 69.
Yeah.
Right. Well, I was just a few years before the Scoggins project
yeah.
here was built.
Okay, they was going to build a dam. They had three different sites located for here. They had one right here above my house on this ridge right here, went across. Mm-hmm. That was one. They had one down here by Mount Richmond Road, and the other one was clear down close to Gaston, where the old prune dryer is down there. That was the big one.
Uh-huh.
And that would flood clear up into here too. And then they finally phased it out. There was a lot of opposition.
Uh-huh.
The Cherry Grove Coalition, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, petition. But they had this all surveyed out. There was stakes right here in my front yard where the water level would be. Uh-huh. On the Mount Richmond Dam down
uh-huh.
here.
So it would have flooded you out?
Oh, yeah. Anything where the land sloped, see, I own this up above, and but any land that sloped to the water, they wouldn't let you live.
Uh-huh.
Because they're on a kind of a sewer system. There's no sewer system. It's all septics.
Yeah, that's right. So you're on septic tanks still
yeah.
here, is that
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm. So, but anyway, they had the road surveyed right through the middle of my house here. They couldn't use what I had up here for a street, but the road was surveyed through my house and went out right past the garage, and then they was going to build a bridge across from behind my garage there and across to the back on the other side.
Mm-hmm. So this was one, I mean, the possibility of building that dam down at Gaston then was one of probably, what, four or five different sites they were looking at.
Well, they had three that they had looked at close.
And then they had the Hague,
Hague Lake site. Yeah, when they gave up here, they were just all at once they was going over there.
Uh-huh.
They probably had it in mind all the time.
And had you, when did you first hear about these plans? Do you recall about when?
Well, they've been... Gosh almighty, they've been talking about building a dam here almost from the time I moved here.
Yeah.
Years. You know, they're speculating on a dam.
Yeah. So so it was in the wind a little bit for all that time.
Yeah, but you never believed it.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, my neighbor used to live up here, Brewer was his name. In the house above me here, he was sure that they were going to have a dam here. This was, gosh, it must be 20 years ago, Pernier. He went and sold his house and moved.
Yeah.
Yeah. He had a son that worked in for the Bureau of Reclamation in Boise, and he moved to Boise, in fact, from here. And, man, they had this dam already built. Practically, you know what I mean.
Right.
Oh, he got out of here. He wasn't going to be around here. He's going to sell one before they started building the dam.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
He figured he'd get a better price if he sold them.
I don't know.
Yeah.
He might have figured that. He figured he wouldn't get anything probably if the government was going to buy him out.
Uh huh. Right.
Which, I even had legislators still probably got it around here someplace where they told what they'd do. They'd buy you out the market value of the current market value, and then they was going to give you $1,500 to for moving and what have you.
Oh yeah.
And then they come around once they're gonna just relocate you, and what have you. You know what I mean? Well, it's all gone now. But I'm not saying that. I still look for a dam down here eventually.
Yeah. Well, people are still thinking about it. I think that's
yeah.
right.
Oh yeah. Because this building this Barney Reservoir up back here in the Trask. They're going to claim that's going to be good for about 10 years,
mm-hmm.
you know, and then they're going to look for water again.
Right.
Well, we got this Tualatin River, and it's, you know, there's a lot of water runs down there to catch in the wintertime.
Mm-hmm.
Matter of fact, it floods half of Hillsborough down yeah. there, you know, the all that ground down.
All the, yeah, the, all yeah. those low-lying farms, that's mm-hmm. right.
So. So they're eventually they're going to have more water.
Mm-hmm. Now, the lake or the Scoggins project, of course, the lake is named for Henry Hague because mm-hmm. he was one of the principals.
Well, he's the one that suggested the dam to start with way back in the 50s, I believe it was.
And did you know him?
I've met him.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and I knew a brother of his.
Oh yeah, Oscar.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Or was it a son? I don't remember, son or brother.
Yeah, well, Oscar was his brother, but I'm not sure who his son was.
Yeah, well, it was Oscar. I knew him quite well.
Oh, yeah.
He had this place out here on towards North Plains up there.
Mm-hmm. And so you'd heard about the plans then to build something.
Oh, yeah.
But you weren't directly involved in any of it yourself?
No. Mm-hmm. I used to go over and watch them work when they was building it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, actually, you mentioned that there was a real resistance here in the community to the plan of putting the dam here on the
Tualatin. Oh, there was a lot of resistance.
Yeah. How did that get organized?
Well, Mrs. Nixon had a lot to do with it.
Yeah.
And then this a fellow over in... Oh, you know, I can't even place his name now. It's in Williams Canyon over here. He was the head of this deal at last. Gosh, I can't wish, and I know it well too. He built a big log house up there in Williams Canyon. And
let me just see. I may have a name here.
Charles, what's his name? Charles. That's his first name.
But. Let's see, I might have I have a name of somebody here that is associated with the organization called the Patton Valley Association or something. Let me just, yeah, maybe I'm not going to be able to find it. Let me just pause this here. But anyway, whoever, so this person that whose name we're still trying to think of was, along with Mrs. Nixon,
mm-hmm.
were sort of spearheading the opposition.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He was quite a speaker on these CPO meetings, you know, and we had a lot of them. Well, they still have one once in a while around here. And
did you get involved in that very much?
I stayed away.
Yeah.
I thought, well, if they're going to build a dam, what the heck? Let them build it.
Uh-huh.
You can't stop progress. You know what I mean.
And you figured that if it happened, you'd just move.
Well, if they want to buy me out, I guess I could go live in a rest home someplace, retirement home.
Well, you probably weren't quite ready for that then.
I wasn't quite ready, no. But and I'm still not ready, as far as that goes.
Uh-huh.
I might want to stay here another year or two. I should stay here for at least 60 years.
Uh-huh.
I got a little bit to go.
That's right. You got a few more years to go. Huh?
But if the old house stands up that long.
Yeah. That'd be what, 2002?
Yeah, I guess it would be.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, it's a... Oh, it's a good old house yet, as far as
that
goes.
Yeah, well, it seems to be in mm-hmm. pretty good shape, pretty good house.
Yeah.
A lot of other residents were not too happy about this dam idea, though.
All the old timers that lived here, you know, for any length of time, they were all against it. Well, in the first place, you know, you stop and think of all the good farm ground that was going to flood. And we don't have any too much around here anyway. It's getting all used up. And this Tualatin Valley down here, where they're going to build a dam, it would take in all this farm ground. And it'd be a shame. I always said they should build a dam right here. This got this high ridge and a big basin back, but they said that was would cost too much, because to have the same acre feet of water, they'd have to go about 300 feet high here.
I see. Oh, yeah. This is the higher site that you're talking about.
That'd be the upper.
Right.
And I said that'd be the place. It would take me out, but the, you know what I mean, and a few others around here, up here, but.
It would take you out? Wouldn't the dam be above you, though?
Or? Well, I'd be right underneath it.
Oh, yeah, I see. And so that you'd probably still take you
I
out.
I wouldn't want it, you know.
Yeah.
And, see, the river, from this ridge right here, this is just a little narrow ridge across here that's all rock and whatever. Well, it's wide enough it'd hold water, you know. And then there's just a narrow gap right over here across the other hill. The ideal for a dam, it wouldn't be over about 400 or 500 feet long, but they said it'd have to be 300 feet high, which would be easy, and it would cost too much money to build a high dam rather than a low dam.
I see, so that's why they're down
river. So that's why they want to go down.
Right.
And but anyway, nowadays, what the heck is the cost? They blow it from something else if they don't blow it here.
No, that's right. Well, they'd have to buy a lot of farmland down below.
Yeah, and think of all the people who live down here that have to buy out.
Yeah, that's right.
There's quite a few people who live in this area. So,
I wonder if you this I think affected people down the river more, but there was also a plan. This would be back in the 50s, I think, that the Army Corps of Engineers had for. Improving the Tualatin, they were going to
straighten it out
exactly,
and clean it out.
Did you you'd heard of that then too?
Oh yeah.
And had you heard much comment about that plan?
Not too much.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of opposition down in the lower end of Lake Oswego area.
That's right.
You know what? A lot of people got fancy homes on the riverbank or down there.
Yeah, they weren't
and,
too.
They didn't want nothing disturbed.
Yeah, that's right. They
weren't too excited. So there, that was a big opposition there. Just like this Cherry Grove here, flooding it out.
Yeah, that's right.
So, now, but it really needs cleaned out in areas, actually. Mm-hmm. There's lots of places from Dilly on down. It's almost stagnant. You know, there's so much junk in the river that. They don't hardly flow.
And by junk, you mean just...
Oh, it's all the trees and stuff, stumps and everything else, and even garbage stuff, you know.
Yeah.
It would be nice if it was cleaned out, but it takes a lot of money.
Yeah. Although I guess actually, if it's natural garbage, I guess the present thinking is that it actually provides... habitat for fish and
now the you know we go back when they logged back in the Trask area, a lot of stuff they logged right up the river, you know, and chunks and everything flew in there. Well, the state made Gold Kenneke, Alder Creek Lumber, clean out the whole thing. They had to get down there with equipment and take every piece of chunk out so it was clean. And then here a few years back, they was back there with equipment putting junk back in the river, see?
Yeah.
You know, he spent a lot of money back there trying to clean up the river to satisfy them. And now they dump logs in there and even put cables on so they won't wash out, of course. But to make these pools.
Yeah.
You know, it's just a complete turnaround.
Yeah, I guess the thinking or the science behind this has been changing over the years,
yes,
or something, or at least people's attitudes about it have changed.
So,
yeah. Well, so then another event that you might have been familiar with, especially since you were working with the water district and everything, you probably were at least aware of it, was the moratorium that the state slapped on Washington County. I guess it was in 1970, the building moratorium that forced the formation of the Unified Sewerage Agency, got all these small sewer districts, mm-hmm. put them out of business. Mm-hmm. Do you remember that?
Yes. Uh-huh. Which, it was probably a good deal, though, because a lot of, the, like Gaston, they had their own setup down here, and with the town, more or less, you know, in the area there, and they couldn't afford it, really.
Couldn't afford to upgrade, you mean?
Yeah, mm-hmm. to satisfy them. So now, when they come in, now they got nothing to do with it. It's all taken care of in one head, you know.
Right.
Instead of many of them. Mm-hmm. And, so.
And do you remember anything about the Gaston plant down there?
Not too much. At that time, I wasn't that much interested in it because we had our own worries up here.
Yeah. Your septic system, you mean? Mm-hmm. Or,
yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah. Of course, it's mine has never bothered me at all. I had to put a new top on it one time, but outside of that, it's been, of all the years I've lived here, I've never had no problem.
Uh-huh.
I've had it pumped twice.
Uh-huh.
In 50 some years.
Yeah. Well, that's
and it didn't need it the last time at all.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like it's working pretty good then.
Yeah. So. Yeah. And didn't really need it the first time. But the only reason I had a pump then is a guy come out looking for work. It was from Aloha, sanitary system or whatever they called it. They have a truck pump. And so he made me an offer. He says, well, I'll pump it for $50. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, you couldn't go wrong on that. And he figured you'd only get one truckload. It took three. But they went down here and dumped it in the field.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Dumped it in what field? You mean down?
Oh, yeah, right down here where these Christmas trees are.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Sucked it out and spread it. And he said, I didn't realize it was so big, he said. And it took three loads. Normally, one load to do it, you know what I mean, out of a... But mine is real big.
Uh-huh.
It's a homemade affair.
Uh-huh.
So it's...
It was here when you bought the property?
Yes. Uh-huh. Is that right? It was here when I bought the property.
Mm-hmm.
And I, the fellow I bought it from was Leo Wickstrom. He told me how long it had been there, and he said he never had no problem with it mm-hmm. then.
Mm-hmm.
And well, I really didn't either, but he talked me into pumping at that time. And I thought maybe it needed it.
Uh huh.
And but it really didn't.
Uh huh. And so he just, it would just be a big tanker truck and then he'd bring it down and spread it on the field down, mm-hmm. down below,
mm-hmm.
huh?
No, you're not allowed to do anything like that now.
No, I imagine not.
No, it's got to go into the treatment plant.
Uh-huh.
So,
Yeah. Although it's at least putting it in the field is better than dumping it straight into the river, which I used
well,
to
yeah.
I guess mm-hmm. there used to be quite a few outfalls along the river.
Oh, yeah. Various... Shoot, there was a lot of them.
Yeah.
All the way down the Tualatin, in fact.
Yeah, and I guess during the peak troubles on the Tualatin in terms of water quality, that would probably be maybe in the 60s
or
something.
Well, you take in the early days, you could do it, and there was enough water and flow and everything, it didn't bother. But, you know, now we got so many people that you have to do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It used to be like one or two or three going down the line. It didn't mount anything, but now if you get 1,000, you'd ruin it completely.
Yeah, that's
right.
That's
the difference.
It's just too much burden for that river to absorb.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Other thing, I guess, is that you know, change too is that the flows aren't what they used to be because they're drawing so much out for irrigation.
No, the flow is. They logged all the timber off. That made quite a difference in the river, Tualatin.
Yeah.
When I first come to Cherry Grove in 1934, up by Lee Falls, up 2 miles from here, up the road, river here, they had a printer, I would say close to an acre of pool below the falls. We used to have rafts. We'd build a raft, you know, and we'd paddle around in the rafts, and we'd go swimming in there and everything. Now, you haven't got a, why, there's no space at all. It's all filled in.
Mm-hmm. So there's less flow over the falls, you think?
Yeah, or? Well, after they log, there's, when you get a heavy rain and what have you, you see the water all comes down, and it filled it all in.
Oh, I see.
Trash and what have you. And
soil and topsoil and all the rest of it.
Apparently. Yeah. Uh-huh. Why, now that hole there, it used to be about an acre, I don't think it's over about 15 feet in depth and maybe 30 feet wide.
Uh-huh.
There was no way I could paddle around in, and you had this, it was still water in there, you know, below it. Now it's current all the way through.
Uh-huh. So a big pool back in the old days.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Shoot.
Yeah.
We used to go swimming up there and everything and play in the water when there's kids.
Was that your favorite swimming hole then, up there?
Or? Well, at one time.
Yeah.
Well, now you got nothing.
Yeah. Did you go swimming in the other places on the river?
Well, when that got filled in, more or less, we had a place we called Sucker Dam down here. We used to go in there some.
Mm-hmm.
But now there's nothing.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So when you get a big storm or rain, you get high water comes through, and 2 days later it's gone.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Before, you had a river running here all winter.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I guess that's one of the reasons that the logging practices needed to be changed too. Mm-hmm. It's just too much.
Of course, they got trees planted now when they log, so that's helping. You know, this young trees.
Yeah. Well, Harold, let me just pause this for a second.